Thank you. Well, kia ora whānau. It's a real privilege to be here. I came a long way this morning, all the way from the other side of Wakamere Cemetery. I'm proud to be a transplanted Westie as well. I know you've been working your way through Matthew, and we're up to Matthew 13, which is this chapter full of these stories, these parables of Jesus, where he explains what the kingdom of God, of the kingdom of heaven is like. And today I just want to focus on one little parable, this passage here in Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Aren't we fortunate to be counted amongst those who have found this treasure? But we've got to admit, it's actually a bit of a strange story, isn't it? A man finds treasure in a field. I mean, this sounds much more like Pirates of the Caribbean than real life, yeah? But in Jesus' days, while this wasn't an everyday occurrence, this sort of thing sometimes happened. You see, this is a world where there aren't banks on every corner. And so oftentimes, if people had treasures they wanted to protect, they would put their gold coins, their jewels, their pearls, they'd put them in a clay jar, bury it in their field. And then maybe they would die suddenly. Or they'd be killed on a journey, or a marauding army would push them off the land. And the treasure would lie there, forgotten and hidden. The land could change hands a number of times. No one would know what's just there in the ground. But occasionally, this treasure would be discovered. And it didn't happen every day, but it happened often enough that there were actually laws about how to deal with treasure found in this way. And even today, archaeologists will sometimes dig up one of these clay jars filled with gold or gems or pearls. So have you ever said to yourself, imagine winning lotto? Ever said that? Good Baptists would never think that, I know, but bad Baptists like me do think that. Imagine winning lotto. Maybe back in Jesus' day, people would go, oh, imagine finding treasure buried in my field. So this is the story that Jesus is telling his disciples. What is the kingdom of heaven like? It is like treasure hidden in a field which someone found. Imagine. How would this man feel? It'd be this, wouldn't it? It's incredible joy welling up in him as he thinks about this. I mean, think about all that the kingdom of heaven represents. The love, this incredible salvation, the hope that we have for the future. I mean, the whole story of the New Testament is a story of joy. God's saving work in Christ is this incredible message of joy. And so, with his heart full of joy, this laborer sells everything he has to go and buy that field. Now, what Jesus is highlighting here is the supreme worth of this treasure. You know, the kingdom of heaven is worth everything. Worth far more than any sacrifice we can make. And so, and even here, Jesus is not even talking about sacrifice. What he's talking about is joyfully abandoning ourselves for the sake of this great treasure, for the sake of the kingdom of God. Paul wrote about this in Philippians 3:8. He said, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. And as he wrote those words, he was grinning ear to ear, for whose sake I have lost all things. But as I meditated on this parable, I saw something that brought me, the clicker's not working. Could you move us on, please? Thank you. As I meditated on this parable, I saw something that brought me not joy, but sadness. I couldn't help thinking about why was this treasure buried? What a tragedy that this treasure was hidden away. I mean, how many generations worked that field and had no idea of the treasure that was just there under their feet? And then as I thought more about it, my sadness turned to anger. I mean, why was this treasure buried? Of all treasures, why was this buried and who buried it? Who would bury treasure like this? And then I realized it was me. I buried it. I bury it all the time. Perhaps we bury this treasure of the gospel by not acknowledging God in our conversations. You know, a workmate asks us, how was our weekend? Oh, yeah, good. I got into the garden. Yeah, had a good visit with great Aunt Edna. Yeah, she does a mean scones with jam and cream. Did you see the game? Wow, the big game. Did you see that? And somehow in our conversation, we never quite get around to talking about Sunday morning and how God spoke to us through the sermon or the song or the prayer at church or that or the conversation afterwards with a brother or sister. And we bury the treasure of the kingdom of heaven. Perhaps we get home after a long day at work and we say a quick hi to our neighbor instead of stopping and saying, hey, how you doing? Bury the kingdom of heaven. Perhaps we bury this treasure of the gospel by ignoring injustice in our community, in our workplace, in the world. Or perhaps we bury the treasure by standing up for justice, but not doing it in the name of Christ. I remember many years ago as a university student in Hamilton, walking into town with 20 bucks in my pocket. I was going to buy a CD. And as I'm walking through town, I see this old lady going into the bins in the street and pulling out cans to recycle and make a little bit of money. And God said to me, Andrew, you're not buying a CD tonight. And so I came up to her, loomed out of the darkness, out of that Hamilton mist. Back then I had long hair. I had probably had a big trench coat on, big boots, looming out of the mist to her with this 20 bucks in my hand. And I tried to shove it into her hand. And she's probably quite scared seeing me coming at her like this. But the reality is I was more scared than she was. I shoved the money in her hand. She said, what's this? What's this for? I said, it's for you. And then I ran away. You know, I mean, I never stopped to tell her who was giving her that money. I buried the treasure of the kingdom of heaven. Perhaps we bury the treasure of the kingdom by burying the gospel's demands to care for the poor, to support mission, we bury it underneath a big pile of our possessions. Do we really need to upgrade the car? Yeah, is there an unused room in our house just full of junk that could be given over to an international student? Or is it time to downsize and release capital into mission? Or perhaps we hide the treasure of the gospel by keeping ourselves so busy that we cannot hear that still, small voice. As God calls us to join him in this glorious, costly call to his mission. One of the ways that we as New Zealand Baptists dig up the treasure of the kingdom is through our Baptist Missionary Society. And so here are a few stories of treasure being discovered in the fields that we have been called to. We've talked about our freedom businesses, Freeset, Love Calcutta Arts and Loyal Workshop this morning. One of our previous workers, Pip, did her Masters of Development on the freedom journey of these women who have been rescued from the sex trade. And she spoke to them about what freedom meant. And it was really remarkable. They did not say they were free. These women did not say they were free because we had given them alternative employment. They did not say they were free because we had given them counseling. They did not say they were free because we had helped their kids into education and broken that cycle. They did not call themselves free because of literacy training or all these things that we did. They said one of two things about freedom. They either said, I am free because I have met Christ, or I am not free yet. But I think freedom must be found in this Jesus that everyone is talking about. I find that remarkable. And I think of those women who have not yet, it's like they've dug up the treasure, it's sitting there in the field, they can see it, and they've not yet gone and sold all that they have to buy that field. Would you pray for those women who are that close to the kingdom? Praise God that many of them have found that freedom in Christ. We'd love more to join them. Another story, Northeast Thailand, a rural area, a very poor area. We're working here. Church is very small, 0.08% of the population are believers. A place where people are quite scared of spirits, and there's one ghost in particular they're very frightened of, a ghost called the Peabop. Now the belief is that the Peabop lives inside of you, and eats your organs and your blood, feeds on your organs and your blood and eats you from the inside out. And then just as you're about to die, the Peabop will seek another host. A genuine fear in the area that we're working in. And so a pastoral couple we work with told some of our overseas workers about the Peabop, and soon after that it was Easter Sunday. And so one of our overseas workers had the privilege of preaching in the small village church about the death and resurrection of Christ, and how through that Christ had won victory over Satan and all of Satan's forces, including the Peabop. Now, one old lady, her eyes popped out of her head when she heard this incredible news. And the next Sunday, as they gathered together again for worship, this lady was sitting there, but she looked completely transformed. She had this huge smile on her face, like her hair was done differently. She was a completely different woman. And she shared that she was no longer afraid. Now that she understood that Jesus had defeated even the Peabop, she was no longer afraid. She would even walk around the village at night. And now we know the Peabop's not real, but we are constantly battling spiritual forces in that place. A real spirit of disunity. Just a hard, hard place to do mission. And we need, it's like the treasure's there, but people are blind, they can't even see it. And we need to pray that the Spirit of God would break through. So that the works of the evil one would be cancelled and people would be able to see the truth and the power of the treasure there. another story. This is an urban village in a city of about 20 million people. It used to be a village surrounded by farmland, but the city has spread and surrounded this place. The farmland's now replaced by factories. We have a guy, Peter. This is in East Asia. Peter lives just next door to this village, a young guy from Northcote Baptist, and he has been faithfully going into this village week after week over the last 4 or so years. Going in, meeting people, just getting to know them, coming back to the church, which is just across the river there, just across the creek, and bringing prayer needs in. And you go in, bring prayer needs. Go in, hang out with people, bring prayer needs. And then people from the church started going with Peter into this village. And then they started going into the village without Peter. And now we're seeing people coming from the village into the church. Really, really simple, eh? He just faithfully went in and plowed that ground. Day after day, week after week, month after month. So simple. And it's amazing the treasure that is being revealed. Some simple stories of the treasure of the kingdom of heaven being revealed. These are the things that we are partnering with as Kiwi Baptists. But you know what? Digging for buried treasure can be back-breaking work. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do. My wife and I, we returned about almost 4 years ago from the mission field ourselves. And when we settled in over the hill here in West Auckland, we realised we needed to buy some gardening equipment. And so we went out and we got a spade. We bought a cheap spade, which as it turns out with West Auckland clay wasn't such a good idea. Here it is. Wasn't long before we needed to get a new one. So we went out, we spent a little bit more money, and we got a better spade. And this spade's better, not too bad. It is a little bit bendy though. So yeah, my dad came down one day from up in Whangarei where they live, and he looked at this spade and he just shook his head. And he went out and he bought us a spade we should have bought in the first place. Yeah? The reality is, so often, our giving, our support of our people overseas, and particularly our prayers, is the difference between this and this. And this is why it's important that we support our overseas work as well. Yours that you're sending out, and ours as a wider movement. It's important we support these people well. Because we want them to be able to dig well, to reveal that treasure. And we have the opportunity of partnering with God in such a way that we genuinely can make this sort of a difference. So I want to commend you for your support of overseas mission and appeal to you to pour yourselves even more into this great journey, here and there. Because what is more valuable than being part of digging up this treasure? May we commit ourselves to this hard mahi of prayer, of giving, sending and going for the sake of those who have not yet found this treasure. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here in Titirangi. I thank you for all that you are doing in them and the excitement of this season. I thank you that as we come to the end of this year focused on mission, Lord, that you are blessing them in many ways, that they are seeing you move. It is so, so good. What a privilege, Lord, to be called to join you in your mission. And so I pray, Lord, that these people would be faithful to the call that you have placed upon them. And Lord, that you would drive them into even deeper commitments, here and globally. Lord, may they not rest until this treasure is revealed in many, many fields, and many, many people experience the joy that we have found in discovering the treasure of the kingdom of heaven. Have your way within us, we pray, Lord.